Thank you so much, Karen. She's kind of prepared us for thinking about God, and He is our vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Talking about prophetic vision, where the Word of God is proclaimed and explained, and that's what our pastor does. He shares that vision from the Scripture each and every week. So take hold of that in all that you do. It's good to be back with my church family. We've had a great week, Tammy and I, on vacation in the great Alaskan wilderness, as Joel called it this morning. We had a great time seeing God's beautiful creation and just a good time of recreation and relaxation. It's good to be back and time to get back to work. And so let's praise the Lord as we think about worshiping this morning. Lord, we do worship you, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for just the time we've had, and we thank you for our church family here. Pray that we would be an encouragement to one another, build one another up. We pray that you'll strengthen those that are weak right now. We have some members that are in the hospital facing difficult physical challenges and some at home. We just pray that you administer to them and help them during this time. Maybe some people going through some struggles, Lord, with their spiritual life or emotional, and I pray that you'll come close to them and minister to them, Lord. Let your word be a healer today. Let your comforter bring comfort and healing through the power of your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us now as we sing your praise, that we would lift up our voices on high, that you would be ministered to and your name would be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing that great hymn that Karen was playing earlier, Be Thou My Vision. It's hymn number 562, if you'd like to look in the hymnal.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my love. Thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, my King of heaven, my treasure, thou. My King of Heaven, the Victory One, may I reach Heaven's joys, bright Heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
welcome this morning. Glad you're part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Those of you that are our guests today, we are so glad, thankful that the Lord has led you to worship with us today here at FBC Gunnersville. Take a moment, wander around, welcome your friends. We are so glad you're here today. Good to have you.
is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, our God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Let's pause just a second. You may be seated. Now, when we sing hallelujah, do we sing hallelujah? Not normally, do we? The J is pronounced like a Y in most places, except for us in English. So we sing hallelujah. And Yah is a contraction of the name Jehovah, which we've known was the name of God since King James days. Jehovah is what we see in there. Jehovah is the right pronunciation of that. So if you want to give it a try, try it on the Jehovah part. Otherwise, just sing Jehovah. I'm not going to stop for that. Because I've been doing Jehovah since I was a child and learned about Jehovah. So here we go. He is the great I am.
He is the great I am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He gives his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Amen. In fact, Brother Joel is going to be preaching about God our Father, the great I am, today. It's so wonderful. As we think about our offertory hymn, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art, hymn number 147. Sing the first, third, and last stanzas. So remain seated until we get to When Christ Shall Come with Shout of Acclamation. So let's worship the Lord together and bring our praise heavenward today as we sing praise to the name of the Lord.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings
first stanza we sang was about God, the creator of the universe. Tammy and I got to experience a lot of the beautiful things about creation this week as we traveled to Alaska. Now we sing the gospel. And the problem was our sin. And God made reconciliation with us through his son Jesus coming to die on the cross and made everything right, restoring everything to the way he wanted it to be. That's the gospel.
And when I think that God his son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
time, just the voice is on the chorus.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Made my day with that. You join me to pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for all the blessings you've given to us, how you take care of us each and every day. And we come this morning with troubled hearts for our nation as we continue to struggle and going in the wrong direction. And we just pray that you'd reach down and touch hearts across this country and let us see where we're headed. As we come now to this portion of the service, when we can give back just a little portion of what you've given to each and every one of us and so abundantly, we just pray that we would use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Joel decided to do the sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, I knew I wanted to have the choir sing this one. But as I've told you many times, this is not a choir to put on a show or entertain. It's a worship leading choir. And so I want you to sing along, if you will, especially on the words "We Believe" and then the chorus. So you please sing along as we worship the Lord together and as the choir sings. Karen plays. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us to life. We believe in the crucifixion. Faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, choir, Ken and Karen, leading us as we worship this morning, talking about We Believe. And so we are starting a series last Sunday. We started a series last Sunday on the Apostles' Creed. Today we're in Acts chapter 17, verses 26, 27, and 28. Acts chapter 17, 26, 27, and 28. Thursday I got a phone call from a friend, and I've told you about this friend before, and he calls me preachy boy. And so this friend of mine is a Presbyterian. He is a PCA, Presbyterian Church of America. He is Reformed. He is a Calvinist. And he is as Reformed as anybody has ever been Reformed, as far as Reformers are concerned. And so he is one who quotes every single Sunday. He goes to Covenant Presbyterian Church in Homewood in Birmingham, and he quotes every single Sunday the Apostles' Creed, so he knows it like the back of his hand. So he calls me up on Thursday, and he says, "Hey, preachy boy, what are you preaching on Sunday?" I said, "Well, to be quite honest with you, I started this past Sunday with a series for the summer on the Apostles' Creed, and what he said next I can't repeat in church. The decorum of the sanctuary would keep me from telling you what he said next. But in essence, what he said was, what in the world do you mean? What are you doing? You're a Southern Baptist preacher. You don't know anything about the Apostles' Creed. You can't preach from the Apostles' Creed in a Southern Baptist church. That's only for us, you know." And so we laughed and we cut up with it. And so it was my opportunity to say, well, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about last Sunday. Talked about the fact that as Baptists, we don't quote any creed. The Nicene Creed, we don't quote the Apostles' Creed, we don't quote any creed because we are a non-creedal people. So I said, the whole summer series is going to be on theology, doctrine, and church polity. And so we took some time last Sunday to do a little church polity organization. And basically what I said was, and for those of you that weren't here, let me just quickly repeat it. What I said was is that every denomination that is represented in our church, and we have them all now. Somebody said, "Did you actually say last Sunday, did I hear you say that we've got everything and more, that there's some of us in here that have been slapped in their face with a cold wet rag as their baptism?" I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what I said. We've got them all now. We got Pentecostals, we got Assemblies of God, we've got Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians, we've got it all in First Baptist Church." And so I said, all of the denominations that are represented in FBC now, basically were all started by a group of angry people 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 300 years ago that were angry because their denomination was doing it wrong. And so they decided to split and leave their denomination and start the new denomination that was going to do it all right. And we Baptists are no different. We decided we're going to leave all of this creeds and hierarchical structure. And one of the things that was really strong about Baptists was we were strong believers in the separation of church and state. Think about it. Back in those days, we came from the Church of England. So that was a big foundational distinctive of us as Baptists, separation of church and state. And we became a non-creedal people. We ran from the creeds because what our original grandparents said was the church has become too dependent on the creed. The creed is more important than the God of the creed. So they ran from creeds. We're not going to quote creeds. They ran from a hierarchical structure. We are locally autonomous. That is, we do our own thing. We're not bound by a group in some other place telling us what we can and can't do. So we are Baptists. Distinctive is that we are people of the book. So when we split and ran another way, we basically said Scripture alone will be our authority. We will not be under the authority of a group of people over here. We will not be under the authority of a creed. We will be under authority of Scripture and Scripture alone. Now, I'm not saying that that's good or bad or right or wrong. I'm just saying that's history. That's church polity. That's why those of you that did grow up like me in a Baptist church, that's why you never quoted the Apostles' Creed. Those of you that grew up Presbyterian, you did quote the Apostles' Creed or Methodist or whatever it is that you grew up in. I will have to say, I am so grateful that on Monday through Friday, I work with a group of people, Ken and Karen and Amy and Micah and Paul. I work with a group of people that love me and are okay with the fact that I can take one little word or one little action that they perform in the office or around the church, and I can twist the truth just enough and actually come out with it on the other side a lie to where I can make them look like the goat and I look like the hero, and they laugh and just go along with it. And I am so grateful for people that love me and let that happen, because that's what I'm about to do to Karen right now. So right before we started this series, Karen and I always talk about the front cover of the bulletin. Karen usually says, "What do you think about this?" And I look at it and go, "That looks great to me." And so we said, "Why don't we put on the front cover of last week's bulletin the Apostles' Creed?" Because we're going to have it. Carson, can you go ahead and put it up on the screen? So we're going to have it on the screen. And Karen said, why don't we put it on the front cover of the bulletin? I said, "That sounds really, really good." Didn't think a thing about it until somebody after church pointed it out to me that Karen, our publicity secretary, you know, y'all know that she's Methodist? Did y'all know that? She's Methodist, y'all. She's a member of the First Methodist Church down the street. She plays for us in this worship service. She works for us on Monday through Friday. But y'all, she's a Methodist, and she is truly now a confirmed Methodist, because she put on the front cover of last week's bulletin the Methodist version of the Apostles' Creed that leaves out "and descended into hell." You see that part? Pontius Pilate was crucified, died, was buried, and he descended into hell. Well, the Methodist, Wesley, took that out years and thousands of years, hundreds of years ago. Wesley took that out. The Methodist will not quote, "he descended into hell." And so Karen gave us the Methodist version of the Apostles' Creed. So Monday I said something to Karen about it, and she went, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me." I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to say something about it on Sunday." So we've now on the screen, we have the other version of the Apostles' Creed. So last Sunday, we looked at just that one little first little phrase. I believe. To believe in something, it means so much more than just simply having an intellectual understanding. So it's more than just reciting a creed or a pledge. Just because you say you believe in something doesn't mean that you believe in that something that you say you believe in. We Americans, we say we believe in all kinds of stuff. I mean, we talk about the things that we believe in, but we really don't believe in those things. So the word "believe" in the American definition of the word "believe" is so watered down that it doesn't mean anything. I can say I believe in all kinds of things, but in my heart of hearts, I know good and well I don't believe in those things. We struggle with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Because that word "believe" to the American mind means that I just simply have an intellectual understanding of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. And that word in the Greek, pisteo, means something so much different than just intellectually understanding. What that verse really says is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would commit their life to him would not perish but have everlasting life." See, it's a totally different understanding. So when we use the word "believe" as Americans, it really doesn't mean nothing. James, when he wrote to the first century church in Jerusalem, In chapter 2, this is my translation from last Sunday. Just saying that you have faith doesn't mean you have faith. James goes on to say the demons even say they believe in Jesus. So that doesn't put us in good standing, by the way. Even the demons say, I believe. James then goes on to say there's got to be more to belief than just simply saying mere words. And so we spent the whole week last Sunday talking about, what does that mean? To say I believe in something, it's more than just an intellectual understanding. It's more than words we recite. It is a heart and a mind and a body and a soul commitment of our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Philosophers in the 19th century ruined not just America, but ruined the world that we live in. And they said, basically, they said that theology is nothing more than just simply warmed over anthropology. And the idea that God is just simply nothing more than a conglomerate of human attributes that are extended to the nth degree, a vision of some kind of Superman. So, these atheistic philosophers started asking questions. And these questions then permeated through the American culture and through all the world. And the questions went something like this: is God really personal? So people started questioning, is God personal? Now, those of us who've read Genesis to Revelation, we know that not only is God personal, He is so personal that He sent His one and only Son to walk this earth and to be the perfect Lamb of God and to give His life for our sin. Well, we know that God is personal, but to those who didn't really know Him in Christ Jesus, then the question became, well, is God just some kind of impersonal, higher force? He created the world and then He just kind of said, now y'all have at it. Is God some vague ultimate reality? Is God just a figment of our imagination? So all of these questions, they begin to filter into the world that we live in. And so at some point, we as the body of Christ, we had to say, well, who's right? Who's wrong? Somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. Either the philosophers are right or there really is Father God Almighty. So either the philosophers are right or the scripture is right. One of the most significant ways then of speaking about God is by means of His name. So the third commandment of the Decalogue, the law, the third commandment makes sure that we do not desecrate the name of God. Do you know when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, all right, Jesus, teach us this thing called prayer. But don't just teach us about prayer. We really would like help to know how to pray. All right, so Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray, what is the very first thing that Jesus does? In teaching His disciples how to pray, teaching us how to pray, He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. So the very first thing that Jesus does in teaching us how to pray is to make sure that you hallow the name of God the Father. And so the Jews' reticence to speak even the name of God was so much more than just simply not wanting to speak His name, but it was out of this great, incredible respect for God's name. God's name is holy because God is holy. Devin Hollins says, our hope rests not in a supreme being, but in the only one true God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He is not known to us via abstract speculation, but is revealed to us in concrete acts in history. The one who revealed Himself to Moses gave Himself the name, I am that I am. That is His name, not His definition. Do you get it? So that is His name. If we were to, all right, let's just say that we were going to stop right here in the sermon. And I was going to get a big whiteboard up here, and we're gonna have a time where we're going to talk about all of the characteristics, the attributes of God the Father. By the way, if we do that, nobody gets to have lunch today. Matter of fact, not only do you not get to have lunch today, you don't even get to have dinner. Because we're not going to leave this sanctuary for another 15 hours. Because it would take us forever and ever if we were to get a whiteboard and we start naming all of the attributes of God. Because it's impossible for your mind and my mind as the creation. It is hard for the creation to understand all that the Creator is. There are more attributes of God than the English or Chinese or Romanian, any language on earth can possibly give to us. We do not have the capability. We don't have the capacity. Your brain, my brain, all of our brains put together, we do not have the capacity to list all of the attributes of God. And so God knows that as our Creator. And so God just simply says, hey guys, I am that I am. So when we proclaim the name of God, the name itself means everything to us. Everything. Everything I am. Everything I have is all wrapped up in the one who says, Joel, I am that I am. Now, the New Testament recognizes the sense in which God is the Father of all humanity. So our text for today, Paul, arguing at Mars Hill, said, from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and we move and we exist. As some of your own poets have even said, we are His offspring. So Paul acknowledges that all humanity is the offspring of God, in the sense that we are dependent on God for our origin and our continuity of existence. He is our Creator. He gives all to all of us the rain, for example. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But there's more to it than just simply God the Creator. For those of us who have then said, I repent of my sin, I put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior and Lord, for us, it is more than just God as Creator. And then He kind of steps back and says, now Joel, have at it. For us, there is this incredibly deep filial relationship that exists because of Jesus. At the first of the year, we did a series on prayer. So we started off the year in a series on prayer. And I can't remember if it was 3 Sundays or 4 Sundays, and it doesn't really matter. But I just remember that I did this sermon series that was unlike any sermon series that I've ever even thought about doing on prayer. Because I never talked about how to pray. I never talked about the things that in this series, we never talked about what we gain because of prayer. We never talked about things that happen in our lives due to prayer. All the things that you would naturally think in a 3 or 4 part series on prayer, that we're going to cover the importance of prayer, we're going to cover how we pray, we're going to cover what we gain. None of that happened. I spent 3 or 4 Sundays, and when we got through with the whole thing, all I wanted you to do was walk out of the sanctuary and go, how cool is that? That we get to talk to God. That's all I wanted you to hear. How incredible is that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That same God of creation, because of His Son Jesus, allows me to talk to Him today. How cool is that? In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, in that series, we heard Paul writes, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've now received God's spirit because he has adopted you as his own children. And now that you are adopted as his own children, now we call him Abba, Father." What an unspeakable privilege that you and I have to call him Father, our Father Almighty. So to confess God as Father is not just some act of presumption if one is in Christ, but it is the supreme act of praise. Hollins quotes the psalmist, "The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. One word from the lips of God is enough to melt the whole earth," he writes. "It brings to mind the image of a man who annihilates an ant by one slight press of the thumb." The image of God's might was not a picture of divine tyranny to the Jew, nor is it an expression of arbitrary sovereignty. It is one of the strongest assertions of Israel's true consolation. The God of Israel is not impotent, but manifests himself as the King of glory. Open up, ancient gates, open up, ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord is invincible in battle. Open up, ancient gates, open up, ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory. So who is this, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty"? Well, I don't have the time. And I don't have the brain. Even if I could communicate to you effectively, I don't have the words. Who is he? Well, he's creator. He's sovereign. He is Father. He's almighty. He is the giver of life. Physically. He is the giver of life spiritually. And to say that I have just touched the surface is the understatement of the year. He is everything. I am that I am. I had an argument with a young lady this week. And I've had this argument with many would-be claimed atheists. And I've actually told you about an argument that I had with a would-be claimed atheist months ago. So I had another argument this week with a would-be atheist. And so she's mad. And she's mad at God. Oh, she is furious with God because whatever it was that she was wanting didn't happen, and it's not really good and it is bad, and I give her that. And so it's God's fault, and she's mad and she's angry. And I think she expected me to go along with it, but I did not. And I looked at her and I said, "What are you mad at?" She went, "I'm just mad at God." And I went, "No, you're not." She went, "Yes, I am." I said, "No, you're not. You don't believe in God. How can you be mad at something that you don't even believe exists?" That made her madder, by the way. That didn't help. I have a tendency of making people madder when I get into arguments with them. Now, Janice wouldn't say that. So I said, "No, let me tell you what you're mad at. What you're mad at is the fact that you do believe in God. Because the scripture tells me that you do believe in God. You're just mad because you don't like the God that you already know that you believe in. And that's God. Isn't that great? He's everything. He is absolutely everything. I have repented of my sin of being angry and an enemy with God. I have repented of my sin. And because I have repented of my sin and I have realized, oh, this is all my fault. This ain't your fault, God. This is all on me. And I repent to you of my sin. And because I've repented of my sin, I've said, Lord, I trust you now as my Savior and my Lord. Everything I got, top of the head, bottom of the feet, I'm all in. I am repenting of my sin, and I trust you as my Savior and Lord. And then the promise is, now, Joel, you are in my hand, and not even the gates of hell. Nothing on this earth will ever pull you out of my hand. That's who he is. That's who he is. And I'm thankful. Father, I'm thankful that we can celebrate God the Father Almighty. I don't have the words, and I get frustrated, Lord, because I want to be able to communicate. That's what you've called me to do. Is to communicate biblical truth, but I get so frustrated because there's just not enough words. And even if there were enough words, I don't have the brain capacity to communicate it. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us. Where words are inadequate, whisper to us, shout to us, truth. I am that I am. And the only way that I can describe that, Lord, is, well, that's everything. Everything. For those who do not know you as Savior and Lord today, Father, may the gift of life in Christ Jesus be theirs. Repent of their sin and trust Jesus. For those of you that do, those of us that do know you as Savior and Lord, Father, confirm in our hearts that I believe in God the Father Almighty. Thank you for that, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. The invitation is, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ, then that is our encouragement for you to trust him and follow him today. I'll be here at the front to receive you if you need to join our church, pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Do that as we stand, as we sing. Seated real quickly. Can we see that VBS video? We had a great week this week in VBS, so let's make sure that we see that video for Micah.
The God who is, we worship the God.
thankful to Micah and Rachel, our children's ministry team, and so thankful for them and all of the people that helped to make Vacation Bible School such a great week. It was absolutely fabulous. All right, so this week we'll get back on schedule. We'll have our deacons meeting is this Wednesday night. The following week is our quarterly business session, so keep that in mind. And then lastly, wanted to remind especially you ladies, we have this new young couple in our church named Ben and Carol Lee Samuels. I've never met them, don't really know them, but apparently they're having twins from what I understand. They're having a baby boy and a baby girl, and there is a shower for them today. And Karen, you know, she just messed up the bulletin all week this week. I mean, Karen, you should have put under that part, expensive gifts are required. All right, let's all stand and close as we sing Doxology.
Praise God.